Today's daf is Tzadi Dalid. We'll start on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Just to reiterate the highlights of the Mishnah, if you carry out in a utensil, ochlim, foodstuff, then you're not chaya for the kli. In the language of the Mishnah, the kli is tofel, it's secondary. You're not interested in bringing out the kli to Rishu Sarab, you're interested in bringing out the food. Then the Mishnah goes on and formulates a different halacha, which is called Hachai Noseis Atzmo, which means that a living being carries himself, or itself. We'll see if that applies to animals as well as to human beings. But in any event, if a person is carrying someone who's laying in a bed, then he's not chayav for carrying the bed because he's not interested in bringing out the bed. He's not chayav for carrying the person because Hachai Noseis Atzmo. A human being that has his own animation is considered as if he's moving himself. However, if he carries out a corpse, a dead body, in a bed, then even though he's not interested in the bed, but nevertheless, he's not chayav for he's chayav for the mess because he's no longer chay nosis atzmo. A corpse cannot obviously carry itself. Then the Mishnah continues by quoting a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, the Tanakama. And that's if a person carries out part of a corpse, which is called kizayis min ames, we'll discuss that a little bit later, or kizayis from a dead animal, or a sheretz, even if it's only a lentil size, very small, he's chayev, according to the Tanakama, but Rabbi Shimon says he's potter. And B'li Neder, as we go along, we'll try to explain the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which is called Molocha Sheinetzricha L'Gufa. So let's begin now, three lines up from the bottom of Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, Tanu Rabbanan. Hamotzi Ochlim Kishir, if a person carries out foodstuff, and it's a grogeris worth, which is the shir, Im Bekli Chayav Ala Ochlin, but Potter Al Hakli. Even though he's carrying it in a kli, and you might think he should be chayav for carrying the kli. No, he's not chayav for carrying the kli. The kli is tofel, as we said before. It's secondary. He's not interested in the kli. He's interested in the ochlin, but in this case, he carried out a full shear of ochlin, and therefore he's chayav for carrying the ochlin. But im haya kli tzarech lo, but if he needs the kli in that place, wherever he's going, then chayav afala kli. He's going to have to bring two chatos in the case of a shogeg. He's got to bring one korban chatos for carrying the ochlim and another for carrying the kli. Shema Mino, the Gemara says that we can derive from this that ochel, if a person eats shnei zesi chelev, he eats a kizayis chelev and another kizayis chelev, behelim echos, he doesn't remember that this is chelev. Chayev shtaim, he has to bring two korbanos chatos. And that's a big chiddush. That's something we should keep in mind, is something radical. We usually assume that if you repeat the same aver twice in one haloma, one shigaga, you forgot, then you only bring one korban chatos. But apparently there is one opinion, and the Gemara in Krisus thinks maybe that's Sumchus, one Tana. He's a very unique Tana, and he holds that Yechayv Shtayim, that you bring two chatos. So maybe we should assume that this brisa that we're learning now is authored by Sumchus. And if a person carries out a kli, and in the kli he's got ochlim, and he needs not only the ochlim out there, he needs the kli as well, he brings two chatos. Keep in mind that this is a bit of a stretch, because in the case where Sumchus says Yechayv Shtayim, he ate one kizayis of chelev, and then he ate another kizayis of chelev. Clearly there are two maisei avera, two actions that are independent one of the other. In contrast, here he does only one action. He doesn't take the kli out and then separately take out the ochlin. So that's something that the Rashba and other Rishonim address. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, you know what? I can interpret this brisa in such a way that it doesn't have to be attributed to that sheet of Sumchus that Yechayev Shtayim Bahaloma Achas. But Hochamai Eskinen Kigon, And now we start our daf for today, Tzadi Dalet Omen Aleph. What's the case that we're dealing with? Sheshogag al ha'ochlim ve'hezid al ha'kli. He didn't realize, he made a confusion between Yontif and Shabbos. He thought that just like in Yontif you're allowed to carry out food, so too on Shabbos you're allowed to carry out food. As far as the Kli is concerned, he was deliberate. And therefore, he's going to be chayav chatos here for taking out the Kli. He's going to be chayav chatos for taking out the food, because that was inadvertent, that was unintentional. And as far as the Kli is concerned, he knew very well that he was violating Melechah Shabbos by carrying out the Kli which he needs over there. And therefore, he's going to be chayav misa for violating Shabbos b'mezid on the Kli. And once again, there's a long discussion here in the Rishonim and others. We have a principle called Kimlei b'derabim minei. We don't usually give you a higher punishment, a more intense, and a secondary punishment at the same time for one action. So we would have said that if he's chayav for being mezid al akli, that's a capital crime for Chil Shabbos. There's no reason why he should be chayav for the shogeg on the ochlim. And many Rishonim will reinterpret this Gemara, and the Gemara doesn't mean to say that he actually has to bring a chatos. Not only that, it's even more complicated, my friends, because there's halacha of shav miyidiyaso, that a person only brings a chatos if we can assume that had we notified him about that which he's not aware of, he would have desisted. Here he would have continued with his affair no matter what, and I'll prove it to you, because he was deliberate and intentional as far as the Kli is concerned. So to assume that he has to bring a karma chatas for the shkaga on Ochlin, that's a very difficult position to maintain. And Rashi seems to maintain that position, and there's a lot of many attempts to try to explain Rashi. Maskif lo Ravashi. Ravashi has the following objection: Vaha afal akli ktani. The Brisa says Yechayev not only for the Ochlin but also for the Kli. It sounds like both violations are one and the same. Now you're telling me they're two separate, fundamentally different violations and liabilities. You know, one is for a mezid, one is for a shogeg. The language of the Braisa doesn't seem to support that. It sounds like the Kli and the Ochlin fit into one category. El Amar Ravashi, Kigon Sheshogag Bezeu Bezeu. He was unintentional both with regard to the Kli and with regard to the Ochlin. Vinodalo, but after he took out the Kli, he finds out first about one of the two sins, and then v'chaz v'nodlo about the other sin. U'bepluta de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. And now we get into the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which we had earlier in Perek Klal Gadol, and there we decided that there's a machlokas as to what happens when he has what's called yedios machalkos, meaning after he violated two chiyuvim, he finds out about one, and then he finds out about the other. And in this debate, Reish Lakish says that he's chayev twice, I'm sorry, he's chayev once, because Reish Lakish never accepted the principle of yedios machalkos, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds Yedios Machalkos. If he found out separately about each violation, he has to bring a separate Chatos for each violation. So Rav Ashi accepts Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why he's going to be Chayev a double Chatos here, one for the Kli and one for the Ochlin, because he had Yedios Machalkos. He found out about each violation separately in sequence. Rav Sheshis, on the other hand, he didn't interpret the Braisa the way Rav Ashi did. He was deliberately avoiding Rav Ashi because he accepted the opinion of Reish Lakish. And according to Reish Lakish, we don't hold from Yedios Machalkos, and therefore you'd only bring one Chatas. Now we get back to the case of a live person. You carry a live person. So the Mishnah says, Zachai b'mitav, you carry a live person in a bed, and he's not interested in relocating the bed. He's potter af al amita. So he's potter for carrying the person because the person is alive. And hachai no se es atzmo. on the Betty's part, because of the principle of Tafel that we said before, he's not interested in relocating the bet. Lema masnisin Rabbi Nosson he velo rabbanon. The Gemara now assumes, based on a brisa that we're about to learn, that there's a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim regarding this principle, which Rabbi Nosson formulates called Hachai Nosei Asatzmo, and the Chachamim never accepted the opinion of Hachai Nosei Asatzmo. Whereas, according to Rabbi Nosson, you're potter for carrying a live person. The Chachamim hold you're chayav for carrying a live person. That's the Gemara's Havamini. The Gemara's going to reject that, but this is what the Gemara thinks now. Lema masnisin Rabbi Nosson hu, that our Mishnah that says you're potter for carrying a human being, that is to be attributed to Rabbi Nosson, but the Rabbanon never accepted the principle of Achai Nosei Asatzmo. So let's learn the Brice. Amotzi behema chayav yoflishus aramim. So we have different categories of animals, whether it's a wild animal, whether it's a domesticated animal, a bird, is bein chayim and bein shchutim chayav. According to the Tanakhama, the reflecting the sheet of the Chachamim, you're chayav, and it matters not whether the animal is alive or dead. Rabbi Nosson omer al shchutim chayav. If the animal is dead, he's chayav al chayim potter. But if the animal is alive, then you're not chayav for carrying the animal. Why? Shachay no seyas atzmo. A live being, whether it's an animal or a human being, in both cases, he supports his own weight, and therefore you're not really carrying him. We're not completely carrying him. Our Mishnah that says that you're potur for carrying out a live person reflects the Shita Rabbi Nosson and not the Chachamim. The Gemara is not comfortable with that, to assume that our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, is to be attributed to one particular dissenting view of Rabbi Nosson. Amar Rava, Rava, afilu teimer Rabbanon. You can reconcile that Mishnah with the Chachamim. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanon. When do Rabbanon reject alei de Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Nosson's opinion? Ela bibehema chayoviof. The Brice explicitly formulates the machlokas in animals. And the Gemara is going to say that enochinami, with regard to a human being, the Rabbanon embraced the same shita of Rabbi Nosson, that yepotur chay nosis atzmo. The machlokas is, what about an animal? An animal obviously is animated, that's why we call it an animal. It has its own power of locution to move from place to place. But to misharvete nafshayhu, when you carry the animal resists. There's a resistance on the part of the animal. Why? The animal doesn't want to be controlled, he doesn't want to be moved, he doesn't want to be dragged. So what he does is, he puts his weight towards the outside, meaning you're moving him forward, he puts his weight towards the back. And therefore, say the Chachamim, we don't apply the principle of Chai Nosei Asatzmo to animals. The animal's not helping you, he's not in any way assisting your carrying. On the contrary, he's resisting. But in the case of Al Adam Chai, a human being, the Nosei Asatzmo, the human being is going to shift his weight here, there, and elsewhere in order to facilitate and in order to assist your carrying him. Again, that's assuming that the Chai is okay with the fact that you're carrying him. Is Afilu Rabbanan Modu, the Rabbanan accept the Shita Rabbi Nosson, that Achai Nosei Asatzmo, the Machlokas is limited to the case of an animal. So our Mishnah, therefore, which says that you're not chayav for taking out a live human being, could reflect the sheet of the Chachamim, and it's lav dafka Rabbi Nosson. Amalei Rav Adavar Ava L'Rava Vosnan. What are we going to do with a Mishnah which appears in two places in Shas, in Masechta Pesachim and Masechta Avodah Zorah? Let's focus on the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah says that you're not allowed to sell animals to a goy. Again, you have to know all the details. We'd have to learn Masechta Avodah Zorah. But the basic fundamental principle that underlies the Isur of selling animals to a goy, which we have to know for our Gemara, is a Shabbos Isur. And that is, we're afraid that if you allow Jews to sell animals to goyim, then tomorrow they're going to rent out animals to goyim. And renting out an animal to goy is a problem. If you're selling it, so what the goy does with that animal on Shabbos is irrelevant to you. It's his own animal. But if you're renting the animal to a goy, and you own the animal, the Jew still retains his ownership, obviously, and now the renter, in this case the guy, is going to work the animal on Shabbos, then you violate the Isur of Shvisas Behemto. If you remember, we discussed in the first parak of Shabbos that the Torah says, Laman Yonuach Shoro, etc., that you have to guarantee that your animals are not working on Shabbos. And now your animal is going to be working on Shabbos because the guy is working the animal. Ben Beseira Matir Besus. Ben Beseira says, no problem. You could sell horses to Goyim, and you could even rent a horse to a guy. No problem. Because what does a horse do, primarily? For what purpose is the guy renting the horse? We can assume he's renting it to ride the horse. If a guy is going to ride the horse, that's not a violation of Shabbos. Why? Because Ben Becerra holds Hachai Nosias Atzmo. The horse is not completely, or shall we say, single-handedly carrying the rider. The rider himself is a live being, and he's assisting the animal. He's like riding with the animal. Vesanya, ben Beseira, we learned in a braisa, matir besus, mipnesha hu osib bo melacha she'en chayoven olea chatos. Because even if the animal is going to work on Shabbos by carrying a rider, that itself is not a real violation of the biblical iser of melacha, namely of Hotzah, because we have a principle called Hachai Noseis Atzmo. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan identifies the Shita of Ben Beseira with that of Rabbi Nosson. Ben Beseira, Rabbi Nosson, Omru Dover Echad. They both are basically standing on the same underlying premise that a human being carries himself. Now, in the case of the horse, Ben Beseira is saying the human rider is carrying himself, and therefore the horse is not really doing a malacha. And in the case of Rabbi Nosson says that even in the case where you, the human being, is carrying an animal, the animal is motivated, so to speak, to move itself, or herself, and therefore Chai Nosias Atzmo applies not just to a human being who's being carried, but even to an animal that's being carried. So now the Gemara presents the logic of Rabbi Ada based on this braisa. Says Rabbi Adavi, E Amrit, if you can interpret the Lo Pligi Rabbanan Al Leid Rabbi Nosson, El Bebehema Chai V'Yov. The only machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Nosson is the case of an animal, if you carry an animal. But in a case where you carry a human being, even the Chachomim embrace the principle of Achai Noseis Atzmo. And why do the Chachomim disagree in the case of an animal, Mishum? Dimishar vite nafshayu, the animal moves back and resists, is my area ben beseira of Rabbi Nosson. Why does Rabbi Yochanan feel compelled to identify ben beseira with Rabbi Nosson? Ha'amir afilu rabbanan modu. Rabbi ben beseira's principle that you're allowed to rent out a horse to a non-Jew would be accepted even by the Chachamim, because the non-Jewish rider is a human being, and we apply, according to our presentation in the Rabbanon, the principle of Chai Noseis Atzmo. So we're really perplexed here as to why Rabbi Yochanan felt compelled to identify Ben Beseira with Rabbi Nosson. This has nothing to do with Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson's unique shita was to extend the application of Chai Noseis Atzmo to include animals. That was Rabbi Nosson. But Ben Beseira is addressing a case of a horse and a rider, a human rider, and that's acceptable according to everybody. Even the Rabbanan accepted the principle of Achai Noseis Atzmo. So the Gemara says, Kikam Rabbi Yochanan Besus HaMiyuchad Liofos. Why did Rabbi Yochanan identify Ben Beseira with Rabbi Nosson? Because we're talking about a horse that's carrying an animal. What does that mean, he's carrying an animal? He's carrying birds. Why would a horse be rented for the purpose of carrying birds? Umikas sus hamiyucha liofos, is there such a thing that you would rent out an animal, in this case a horse, to a non-Jew, and the horse is carrying another animal, in this case a bird, in. And I'm going to tell you something about a certain kind of a horse, and that's a horse that's owned by Debay Vayordan. Vayodan are those who hunt birds. This was a very you could see that if you go to a museum, you'll take a look at the art from a few centuries ago. You'll see constantly they draw pictures of bird hunters, and the bird hunters carry a special kind of bird on the back of a horse. And when they get too close to other birds, they free the bird from the horse, and the bird hunts down another bird. In any event, the bottom line is that there are horses that are designated as horses to carry birds. And the question is, can you rent out such a horse to a guy, knowing full well he's going to use it to hunt his birds on Shabbos? And here we have an overlap between Ben Becerra and Rabbi Nosson. Chachamim would say you're not allowed to do so. You can't rent out a bird trapper's horse to a guy because we don't apply the principle of Achai Nosi Esatzmo with regard to animals. But both Ben Becerra and Rabbi Nosson extend the principle of Achai Nosi Esatzmo beyond the confines of a human being, applying to animals. And therefore, when the horse is carrying a bird in this case, that's not considered as if the horse is really carrying the bird, because the bird is Nose Esatzmo. One more comment on this sugya. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Umode Rabbi Nosson Bekofus. Rabbi Nosson, even though he extends the principle of Achai Nosi Esatzmo and applying it to animals, that's only if the animal is free. But if the animal is tied down, that's called kofus, when you rope down the animal, then you're chayev, because then the animal cannot in any way be considered animated. In other words, it's not helping or assisting in the carrying, it's tied down. Now, in the case of the birds that were used to trap other birds, those birds were not tied down. Right, they wanted those birds to rest on the back of the horse until they got to the place where they could hunt, and then they would send out the bird. So in that case, Rabbi Nosson is going to apply the principle of Achai Nosi Esatzmo. But in a case where you would tie down an animal on the back of whatever, on a human being, on a wagon, on another animal, that would not come under the halacha of Achai Nosi Esatzmo, because the animal is not considered animated. And here is a long discussion about a human being. What about a human being who was tied down? Would that also neutralize the principle of Achai Nosi Esatzmo, because the human being is not in any way assisting his being carried because he can't shift around his body and assist, he's tied up. Amalei Rav Ado Bar Masel Abaye V'ha Hani Parsoi. Now, the Persians had a very unique way of riding horses. And their way of riding horses was, you know, they normally, when you ride a horse, you know, you bend down a little bit, right? And you sort of guide the horse. And therefore, we understand the principle of Achai Nosi Esatzmo. But presumably, according to Rabbi Nosson and Ben Becerra, you're allowing selling or renting horses to goyim, including even Persians. In the case of the Persian, the rider on top of the horse is not in any way helping the horse, because the Persians were very fond of themselves, and they used to ride horses, sitting up vertically, even though they could help the horse and guide it, but they, you know, it was below their dignity. And therefore, kiman dekfisei domi. In this case, the Persian rider is like a human being who's tied down, and he's not helping and aiding in the movement. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan ben Becerra Rabbi Nosson amru dover echad, which means that there's no malach involved if you rent out a horse to a guy, presumably even a Persian, and we're going to apply the principle of Achai Nosi Esatzmo. How can we apply that principle if the Persian rider is similar to a kofus situation? He's not in any way assisting. The Gemara says no. Hasam, in the case of the Persians, although it's true that in all likelihood they're not going to assist in the riding, but that doesn't redefine them. Essentially, they could, let's say, potentially help the rider, help the horse move. But remus rucha, who did not get lahu? They have a certain kind of remus rucha, is conceit. Whenever a person feels he's greater than the next one, so he does it in that way. But I'll prove to you that in and of himself, the Persian is capable of movement. And if you put him on the ground, he's going to fly. And how do I prove this to you? There was a certain Persian officer in the Persian kingdom, the Rasach Malka Iluye, and the king got very angry at him. And Royt Tlosa Parse Bakare, he ran 3 parcels, which is an amazing amount of distance, by foot. So you see that basically the Persian is no different than any other human being. He's capable of movement. We're going to apply the principle of Achai Nosi Asatzmo. While he's riding the horse, maybe he uses a kind of position that indicates his conceit, and therefore he's not helping in moving the horse, but it doesn't matter. We define him essentially and categorize him as Hachai Nosei Es Atzmo, and Araya, he could run like the speed of light. Now we get back to our Mishnah, Es Hameis B'mita Chayav. If you transfer a dead body, then there's no Hachai Nosei Es Atzmo in the case of a corpse, then you're chayev. V'chein kizayis min ames. Not only if you carry out a full corpse, but even if you carry out part of the flesh of a corpse, a kizayis worth, you're chayev. And Rab Shimon says, you're potter. Amar Rabba, Barachana Rab Yochanan. Rab Yochanan is really being quoted here over and over again in this daf. The Amar Rab Yosef, Amar Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Yosef quotes Rav Shimon Lakish, Poter Hoy Rav Shimon. How far did Rav Shimon go? And here we get into the issue of what's called the Malacha Shein Tzrich Leguf, which we'll talk about as soon as we turn the page to Tzadi Dalid Amid Beis. Af B'motzias HaMes LeKovro. Now there's something really, really revolutionary going on over here. When we talk about the Shita of Rav Shimon, Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa, what we mean is that if he takes out something which he doesn't need out there to relocate it, he only needs to get it out of here, then Rav Shimon says that's a Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. You don't really need the Malacha per se. You know, you don't want the Hotzah. Hotzah means relocation. That doesn't interest you. You just want to get rid of it from here. Get it out of here. The corpse is smelling, whatever the problem is. Now, Reish Lakish is saying something that goes way, way beyond that. That in a case where he's taking out the corpse for burial purposes, which clearly means that he wants the corpse to be in a certain location. He's not just clearing out his house. He wants to bury the dead in the cemetery. And even in that case, says Reish Lakish, Rav Shimon holds you potter. And this is a tremendous extension of Rabbi Shimon. And basically, according to Reish Lakish, a Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa would mean that it's not enough that you don't need the Malacha, you're just protecting yourself. But not only that, the object itself, which is now being relocated, doesn't need the Malacha. Now that's a Pella. What do you mean? The corpse, again, the corpse is not a live being, but certainly the corpse gains something from being buried. I mean, that's how we achieve Kapara. So Omar Rava says, wait a minute, I'm going to give you another case. And I'm going to show you from that case that Rabbi Shimon would say you're chayev if you need the object, not only out of here, but you need it there. Moder Rabbi Shimon, b'mar. Mar is something that you use to dig. Lachbar bo, and you want it over there, out there, because you want to dig with it. Or a Sefer Torah likros bo, you carry out a Sefer Torah because you have to read it in a different place. The chayev. And you're chayev. Why? Because you want to relocate it. And the Gemara doesn't question Rava. The Gemara only questions why Rava needs to be mechadish that chiddush. pshita. De e hanami malacha sheni tzricha legufa. If you're going to tell me that even in a case where you carry something because you have to relocate it, it's called a malacha sheni tzricha legufa. El a malacha sheni tzricha legufa l'Rabbi Shimon heichi mishkachasla. Where do we find a case where Yechayef HaHotzah, HaHotzah is one of the 39 Malachas, there must be some scenario in which Yechayef, and HaHotzah essentially means to relocate the object, you want it out there, you need the Ho out there, you need the Sefer Torah out there. So for sure Rabbi Shimon is going to say Yechayef, and if we understand what Rav is being Mechadish, meaning what was the Salkadaita before Rav, the Havamina, then maybe we could come back to Reish Lakish and understand Reish Lakish's extension of Rav Shimon's Ptur, even to a case where he wants to bury the dead. Mao de Tema, I would have thought, if not for Rava, Adeika, when does Rabbi Shimon hold that Yechayev, and it becomes a Malacha Tzricha Legufa, Adeika legufo ulegufa. When you need both for your sake and for the sake of the object. Kigon mar lasos lo tas vilachpar. In other words, he's taking out this hoe for two reasons, for two purposes. Number one, he needs to fix the hoe, it's broken, for his own personal benefit. He needs the hoe for the future. Not only that, but lachpar. He needs the hoe at that location, at that point where he's relocating it, in order to dig a hole. Or, Sefer Torah lagia velikros bo. Number one, he wants to fix up the Sefer Torah, and he's going to do so over there, you know, in the house of the scribe. And at the same time, not only is he benefiting from it, but the Sefer Torah needs to be there, relocated, where somebody is going to read from it. However, what happens if you cannot check off both boxes? It's not legufo ulegufa. It's not beneficial, sai for the person himself and sai for the object. So let's say, for example, he's not interested in fixing the hoe. It's not broken. He's not fixing up the Sefer Torah. He's only interested in relocating the Ho or the Sefer Torah. Is therefore, in that case, he might be Potter. If not for Rava's statement, he might be Potter, because it's only Ligufa, right, for the purpose of relocating the Ho. He's got to do it there in the field, that's where he's digging his hole. Or relocating the Sefer Torah where they'll do the Haggah of the Sefer Torah. It's not legufo. And if it's not legufo, we're missing one of the two requirements that are critical for the Malacha Tzricha Legufa to make Yechayev called Mashmalon. And therefore, Rava is being Mechadesh. No. That as long as your Hotzah is legufa, gufa means for the object itself, and you want to relocate the object, then you're Chayev. So now let's get back for a moment to the case of Reish Lakish. Hamotzi es hames lekovro. He wants to take out the mess in order to bury it. Well, in that case, I would say that it's legufa. It's beneficial for the corpse. The corpse needs to be buried. But as far as he's concerned, there's no positive performance of a malacha which is gaining something for him. I mean, he just has to make sure that his house is clear of the corpse. And therefore, it would seem that according to Rav Shimon ben Lakish, in his understanding of Rav Shimon, we need two conditions. It has to be both legufo and legufa. And in the case of mes lekovro, although it's legufa, but it doesn't have the additional condition of legufo. So he says the following. From the perspective of the person who's carrying out the corpse, this act has no inherent benefit for him. He's just trying to rectify an undesirable situation that happened to befall upon him, the presence of a corpse in his house, and he removes the body. From the perspective of the corpse, The actors inherently benefit, for burial services serves its needs and enhances its condition. So therefore, it's certainly ligufa, but it's not considered ligufo. And Reish Lakish, in his understanding of Rabbi Shimon, requires not only ligufa, but also ligufo. Hahush Chava, dead body, Tahavi Bidrokna, it was in a city called Dirokna, and Shor Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak permitted Lafuke to take it out into a carmelis. And as we've discussed in the past, a carmelis is an area which is neither a Rishus HaRabim nor a Rishus HaYachid, but the Rabbanan imposed upon it the status of an Isur. And now we're going to permit taking out the corpse from a private domain into a carmelis. And this is in order to make sure that the corpse will not be rotting. Rashi gives actually a whole number of different possibilities. Maybe the corpse was in the sun and he wanted to take it out of the sun. Maybe it was about to be burned by a fire, or just simply it was lying in disgrace. Now, there's a double chiddush over here, a twofold chiddush. Number one, Rav Nachman is being lenient and allowing you to carry something out to a carmelis, and that's a violation of an Issur D'Rabbanan. Number two, we have another problem of mukta. A corpse is considered mukta. That problem, says the Ritva, can be solved easily, and that's called a nosin of tinok. Tinok o kikar. In other words, you could put a loaf of bread or a baby on top of a corpse, and that's called tiltel ayidei dover acher. That's an indirect tiltel. Omalei Rabbi Yochanan, achua demar berei deravina l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rabbi Yochanan objects to this leniency of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and he says, kiman, you must be standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon holds that when you carry out a corpse, you're potter. But Amar de potter, Rabbi Shimon, how far did Rabbi Shimon go when he says that if you do a malach sheni tzricha legufa, you just want to take the corpse out of here, and therefore you're potter? Is that only michiyuv chatas? That's only on a biblical level, doraisa. But isur derabbanan mi ha'ika. However, he certainly agrees that at the very least you violate an isur derabbanan. So how can you allow taking out the mess in a malach sheni tzricha legufa situation where you just want to get the mess out of here, and you're going to violate an isur of hotzah? That's at least, even according to Rav Shimon, a violation of a Shvus D'Rabbanan. Amalei. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak gets very, very hot under the collar here. He says, Hello Kim, which is a lashon of a Shvua, an oath. The Eilis Be'at, you yourself would certainly permit what I permitted. Why? Forget about Rav Shimon. Afila Rav Yehuda Shari. Even Rav Yehuda would be moda that you're allowed to take out this corpse. Why? I didn't allow you to take out the corpse into a Rishus HaRabin. To me, Ka'imnar Rishus HaRabin, did I say, this is a rhetorical question, that you're allowed to take the corpse from Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRabin? Absolutely not. Chas v'shalom. But LeKarmelis Ka'imina, I allowed you to violate an Isur D'Rabbanan of Hotzah to a Karmelis by taking the corpse out to a Karmelis. And here we activate a principle, Gadol Kovod Abrios Shedocha Es Losa Seshabat Torah, that for the sake of the dignity of the corpse, which is called Kovod Abrios, the corpse is in a very disgraceful situation, we're going to allow you to violate what normally would have been an Isur D'Rabbanan, and that's called Tiltul Karmelis. So although Kovod Abrios is not powerful enough to override a doraisa, it certainly would be powerful enough to override a derabbanan. And there are many cases where the derabbanan step aside and they permit you to violate a derabbanan for the sake of kovod abrios. Now, what about the case in the Mishnah where he carries out a part of a corpse, only an olive size of the corpse? Tanan Hasam. Now we're learning Masechta Negoim. Now, in order to understand what's going on here in Negoim, then we have to know that there's a certain sign of tzaras, of leprosy, that is called michya. Michya means that there's a patch of skin which appears to be healthy, but it's afflicted. And what happens is there are two white hairs coming out of this flesh, and as long as there are two white hairs, then we declare, the Kohen will declare that this person is Tomei as a Mitzora. We have a Mishnah in Negoim, Atolesh Simone Tuma. Now, normally, when you cut off hairs on Shabbos, then you violate Meleches Gozes, which is one of the 39 Melechas, like shearing in the case of wool off the back of a sheep. So what does he do? He has Simone Tuma, and he wants to circumvent the laws of Tuma. He wants to guarantee that he won't become declared a Mitzora. So in various cases, Hichva HaMichya, meaning he sears off the hairs in this Michya, and therefore he circumvents the laws of Tuma Vitara, Over Belotase, first of all, he violates the lav of Ktsitsas Baheres, because the Torah tells us in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel that you are enjoined in Bamidbar Chavdalid, that the Torah says that you are enjoined, you're prohibited from taking off the hairs, but that's only a violation of a lav, so for that you'd get Malkus. But Itmar, regarding that Mishnah, we have a Braisa that says, Achas Mishtayim, even if he removes one of two hairs, Chayav. Now the reason for that is, because the very moment he removes one of two hairs, then it's no longer Simon Baheres. It's no longer a Michya. And if it's not a Michya, he's not Tomei. However, Achas Mishalosh, let's say he has three white hairs, and he only removes one of the three, I'm going to fast forward here to Rav Sheshes just to get the more intuitive understanding. Rav Sheshes Omer Potter. Why? Because what did he achieve over here? He hasn't achieved anything. His state of Tuma continues even after he removes that hair, because he still has two white hairs left. And the Pella is Rav Nachman Omer Chayev. Rav Nachman says he's Chayev. So immediately the Gemara looks for an explanation for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Omer Chayev. Ahani Maisov. He was successful in achieving a goal. Why? The imish takla chad achrita, if one of the other two hairs that are left will be removed, is azalei tuma. He will not be tome. Notice, had he not removed the third hair, then he has three hairs, and if one would be removed, he remains tome. But now that he removed one hair, if one of the remaining two would be removed, he's tar. And Ravashi Omer Potter, hashtamias, but right now, he's removing the third hair. He's left with two hairs. Ha'isalutuma. He is still Tomei. So you see that right now there's no consequence to his removing one hair. Rav Sheshes therefore says he's Potter. Whereas Rav Nachman says, let's look at the potential over here. In the long haul, he might have gained something by removing one hair. Amar Rav Sheshes, Mina immediately, I'm going to prove to you that my Shita is correct from our Mishnah. Here in Shabbos, this nan, V'chein kizayis min ames, u'kizayis min anavela. The Mishnah says, you're chayav in a case where you carry out a part of a corpse. How much? A kizayis min ames, or a kizayis min anavela. And the shear of kizayis is the small amount of this flesh or of the animals, but that is makabel tuma or can be mitami other things. Hachatzi zayis potur. If he carries out a half of zayis, he's potur. V'ha-sanya. Now we have a contradiction from a different price, which Rav Sheshet is going to reconcile. Chatzi zayis. Chaya. My love. How do we reconcile these two brisos that seem to be mutually exclusive? Hodesan Yechayv, the brisa that says Yechayv for Chatzi Zayis, the Apik Chatzi Zayis Mikizayis. In other words, the total amount that was there was a full Zayis. And he took out a Chatzi Zayis. So now, what happens is, the remaining mass is no longer capable of being makabel tuma. Only a kezayis, minimum kezayis, is makabel tuma, or is metame acherim. And now, when he splits the kezayis in half and he takes out half, what's left is not capable of conveying tuma, because it's only a chatzizayis. So he's achieved something right now. For Hadisnan Potur, and the Brisa that says, or the Mishnah that says, our Mishnah, that your Potur, when you take out a half a Zayas of a mess, is the Apik Chatzi Zayas Mikazayas for Mechza. In other words, what he left behind is a full Kazayas, because before he took out a half a Kazayas, there was 1.5 Kazayas of mess. So he's left with, after he removes half his eyes, is one full kezayis. So the tuma and the power of transmitting tuma remains exactly unchanged. Says Rav Sheshes, you see clearly that we don't look at the potential. Well, maybe another chatzis eyes will be removed, so the chatzis eyes that I took out was meaningful. No, we look at the present situation in actuality, and right now, by taking out a chatzis eyes, nothing has changed because he left behind him a full kezayis. For Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman, who holds that we look at the potential, is how is he going to reconcile these two brises? Idi v'idi chayav. In both cases, you're going to be chayav for transferring half of a kezayis, because in event that another half of kezayis will be removed, it won't be able to transmit tuma. For others, not potter. What's the case in which the Mishnah says you're potter? The api chatzi zayis mimeis gadol. It's a large corpse. And taking out a half of Zayas has no repercussions. It's not going to make any impact, no difference whatsoever. Because you have a massive amount of tumah, and we don't assume that, you know, it's going to be removed. And therefore, since your action is clearly inconsequential, therefore you're potter. And this leads us to the next Mishnah of Gozes. So let's take a look at the Mishnah of Gozes. Hanotel tziparnov zu mizu. The Mishnah now records a machlokas between the Chachomim Rabbi Eliezer in a situation where instead of cutting his fingernails with a scissors, he does it in an unusual kind of way. Rabbi Eliezer says that sometimes people bite their nails, they sometimes pluck off their nails with their fingers. Everything is within the larger purview of kidarko, of something that's normal. And therefore, notel tziparnav zu mizu. He takes his two nails and he scrapes off one nail, he rips off one nail with the other nail. He's going to be chayef, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And obishinov, he bites off a nail. V'chein besaro, and if he has hairs, let's say he removes his hair manually, right, with his hand, v'chein besfamo, or he pulls out the hair from his mustache, v'chein beskaro, from his beard, is, I'm going to skip the next line for a minute, is Rabbi Eliezer's Machayef. Rabbi Eliezer says, in all these cases, you took out a hair, you took off a nail, you're Chayef. That's within the broader purview of Kedarko. V'chachomim osrim mishum shvus. And the Chachom say, okay, on a Drabbana level, I'm not going to allow you to do this, but this is not Kedarko. This is not the normal way. Take a scissors, cut off your hair, cut off your nails. This is a very unusual way. It's called Kelachar Yad. And therefore, on a deraisa level, you're not chayav. Now, the part that we skipped is really a bracketed entity unto itself. You know, it's a part of the Mishnah, which we'll get to, Mirtz Hashem. And those are various types of cosmetic activities. V'chein, she's chayav in the case of godeles. Let's assume godeles means braiding her hair. The Gemara is going to go back and forth. V'chein kocheles, She takes a paint and she puts it around her eyes, v'pokeses, she fixes up her hair. And in all those cases, Rabbi Eliezer says, Yechayev. Again, those cases have to be defined, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Omer Rabbi Lazar. Now, let's not confuse Rabbi Lazar with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the Tana of our Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar is an Amora, who's coming to interpret the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Machlokes biyad, avol bekli chayev. If he would have used the scissors to cut off his nail, even the Chachamim would say he's chayev. That's called gozes. So pshita, why do I need Rabbi Elazar to make that comment? Zo bezu tnan. The Mishnah says that he took one finger, one nail, and he took off the other nail with that nail. Obviously, if he did it with a scissors, then he'd be chayev. Ma'ov detema might have said, Rabbanan bekli nami patri. The Rabbanan hold that gozes only applies to shearing the wool off the back of a sheep. But when it comes to a human being, which means cutting off the hair from a human being or cutting off his nails, that's not called gozes. I've a hodik tani zubazu. Why didn't the Mishnah tell me a bigger chiddush? Not only if he takes his nail and takes off the other nail with his nail, he's potter, but even if he takes his scissors, he's potter. Lo diacha kocho de Rabbi Eliezer. That we want to tell you how far Rabbi Eliezer went. If we had a machlokas in the case of scissors, you would say that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that in the case where he uses his finger to cut off another nail, he would certainly be potter. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to teach us that Rabbi Eliezer goes even a step further, and that's Rabbi Lozer's chiddush here. And even in the case where he cuts off his nail by using not a scissors but his own hands, let's say for example, he's chayav. But again, the chiddush here of Rabbi Lozer is the Rabbanan would agree that the malach of gozes is not limited to shearing off the wool off the back of a sheep, and it applies to human hair and human nails as well, but only if he does it the normal way and he cuts it with the scissors. V'yomer Rabbi Lozer, another statement of Rabbi Lozer, machlokes li'atzmo. When does Rabbi Eliezer the Tana say that you're chayev? Even if you take one nail off with another nail, or you rip off the nail, etc., etc. That's only li'atzmo, if he's doing it on his own fingernails. But if he tries to pull off a nail from his friend, is diri akol potter? Even Rabbi Eliezer holds that's unusual. In other words, you can't, you know, a person knows how to take off a nail from his own fingers, but to say that it's normal to take off the nail of somebody else from his fingernail, that's definitely unusual. And that's not something that a person could do. I mean, you and I know how much ladies pay to get their nails done. And they don't go to a cosmetician who's going to bite off their nails, if you know what I mean. Pshita, again, why do I need Rabbi Lozer? Tziparnov, quote, Tnan. The Mishnah says his fingernails in the possessive. Ma'udetem, I would have thought, Rabbi Eliezer. Lechavero nami mechayev. Rabbi Elazar would say that you're even chayev if you remove someone else's fingernails. You can learn that profession and do it well. V'hadik tani tziparnav. Why did the Mishnah say it was his fingernails that he took off? Lo diach hakocho derabbanon. To tell you that the Rabbanon will exempt you. And even if you're doing it to your own nails, you know, if you're biting your own nails, maybe that's called normal behavior. Kamash Malon, therefore, Rabbi Lozer wants to teach us that Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if you remove someone else's fingernails, you're potter. V'chein sa'aro, tana, hanotel melo pi hazug chayev. How much of a shear of hair do you have to remove to be chayev for gozes? It's pi hazug, whatever would go into a scissors. Kama melo pi hazug, how many hairs would fit into a scissors? Is Omer Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. Even if you cut two hairs, that's enough to cut with the scissors, and therefore you chayev for meleches gozes. V'atanya. But the Braisa adds a comment. It starts with the words, hanotel melo pi hazug chayev, but then it adds two words, ulekarcha shtayim. But as far as the violation of the Isur Karcha, if somebody, Nebuch, lost one of his close relatives, the Torah prohibits you a lav to remove hair, to tear out hair, and the shear is two hairs. But apparently the Bryce is telling you that only in the case of Karcha is there a shin of minimum shear, two hairs. But in a case of violating Melechus Gozis on Shabbos, it's a different shear. Ema v'chein l'karcha, rewrite the Bryce. And even in the case of Karcha, Shtayim. So both in the case of Shabbos from Melechus Gozes and in the violation of the Isur Karcha Lames, it's the same minimum shear of two hairs. Tanya Nami Hochi, and we have Raisa to support this position, Anotel Melo Pi Azug B'Shabbos Chayov, V'Kama Melo Pi Azug Shtayim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achas. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you remove one hair, again a chumer of Rabbi Eliezer, not only you're chayav for biting your nails, you're even chayav if you take out one hair on Shabbos. And Umodim Chachom and Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachom agree that there is a scenario in which you're chayav for taking out one hair. B'malakeit levanos mitoch shchoros. This is very common in people who reach middle age and their hair starts turning white, and they want to pluck out the white hairs and leave the black hairs. And here, even if he takes out one black hair, afilu achas chayev, the Rabbanan agree that that gives it a chashivus, it's a significant act, even though he only removed one hair. And not only that, dover ze af bechol asur, even to remove one white hair on a weekday is prohibited. Why is that? Mishum shenemar lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Women have to get rid of that black hair, and there's a whole multi-million-dollar enterprise of coloring their hair and so forth. But a man doesn't color his hair, a man doesn't remove white hairs, and therefore he violates the Isur of Lo Yilbash. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tziporen Sheperesh Ruba. Right, you have cuticles. You know, those are the parts of the hair towards the bottom of the nail. And part of the cuticle already is detached. How much of it? Ruba. Most of the cuticle is detached. It's still hanging on. Or tzitzin sheperishu rubo. Or you have strips of skin that are peeling off from your body, and most of them have been detached. Is then, are you allowed to remove that hair? I mean, that skin? And the answer is, biyad, if you're doing it with your hand, mutter. But if you cut it with the scissors, b'chli, yachayv chatos. Now, we've never seen such an extreme difference. Mi'ikam midi, have we ever seen anything that the b'chli, if you use the utensil, yachayv chatos, u'biyad? But if you do it with your hand, mutar, l'chatchila, it certainly should have been an isur d'rabbanan, because we're always afraid if we allow you to use your hand, tomorrow you're going to use a kli. Hachi komar, this is what the b'risa means, pershu ruban. If most of the fingernail has been detached, then biyad mutar. Bekli, if you do it with a kli and it's mostly removed, is pater avalosa. That's going to be a rabbinic prohibition. Lo pirshu ruban, but if most of the hair is, if the cuticle is still attached to his finger, then biyad pater avalosa. The rabbanon are going to say, don't do it with your hand, because if you would do it with a kli, you'd be chayv chatas, because most of it is still attached. It's growing. Amar Rav Yehuda halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar, and we indeed accept this distinction the way we reinterpret the Braisa. Amar Rav Bar Barachon, Amar Rav Yochanan, v'husha pireish klape mala. When we say the l'chatchili, you're allowed to remove this cuticle, which is mostly detached, that's only if the cuticle is detached in the direction towards the top of your finger. Why? Because then you're suffering a little bit. Umitzaros also, and he's caused a kind of level of discomfiture. But if, let's say, the disconnected part is near the base of the nail, and then it's peeling, that doesn't give you tsar, and therefore the rabbanon are not going to allow you to do it. Now remember, there were three cases of cosmetics which the Mishnah established that Yechai for, v'chena godeles, hapokeles upokeses. So the Gemara asks, what is he chayav for? Godelis, kocheles, pokeses, mishumai machayav. What malach is involved over here? Om Rabbi Ovin, Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, godelis, mishumo reges. When she braids her hair, it's a kind of a weaving, because that's what they did when they weaved. Kocheles is mishum koseves. When she paints her hair, she's writing something. And pokeses mishum tova. And if she adjusts her hair, that's called tova. Tova means when you spin threads. Amru Rabbanan Kamid Rabbi Yevavo, and with this we'll conclude, V'chi derech harigo b'kach? Is this the normal way of weaving? When you braid your hair? V'chi derech ksiva b'kach? Is this the writing two letters on a parchment? What you're doing is very unusual. You're just painting your hair, your eye. V'chi derech tviya b'kach? Is this a normal way of spinning? This is not the normal way. Ela Amru Rabbi Yevavo, L'didi mefarshali mine de Rab Yossi v'Rab Chanina. I'm going to reinterpret it here on Tzarihei Amin Aleph Kocheles Mishum Tzovas. When she paints her eyes, that's called dying. And Godeles upokeses Mishum Bona. When she braids or fixes her hair, she is building something. And tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to talk about building in a human being. That there's also building when you restructure something on the human body. And that's called V'chiderech Binyan Bekach. And that's here on the second line of Daf Tzarihei Amud Aleph. So Mirsa Hashem, tomorrow we'll start on Daf Tzarihei Amud Aleph, two lines down from the top.